Welcome to the Empowerista interview series on business rock stars. I'm Alex Worley, joined by Lorena Gaxiola, an award-winning interior designer. Thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I was reading about your background, and it's so fascinating. You're originally from Mexico and then grew up mostly in San Diego. You're a world traveler. Tell me a little bit about that, about what your upbringing was like and how it led to you being in this line of work.
I come from a family of artists. My father's an architect in Mexico. My brother's an architect as well. We love cooking. I mean, it was just very artistic background. And I always wanted to be an architect growing up. And eventually in the early 90s, my dad was the one that introduced me to interior design when it first earned a full bachelor's degree. And then I decided to study interior design. And that's where I made the leap from Mexico to the United States and studied in San Diego and then stayed there ever since.
Yeah, and tell me about where you're at today, because you manage a lot of different property and you're doing so much. You have your hands in a lot of different areas of this industry. Tell me a little bit about it.
So I focus on working for property developers. I established my company out of San Diego when I was 24 years old, and I operated that for nearly 20 years. And in working with big developers, I realized I gained experience of managing big budgeted projects and how to have a return on investment in those sort of properties beyond just doing decoration. I mean, this is interior design, interior architecture. So designing under those guidelines was a master's degree on its own. And eventually I just felt like, okay, it's kind of like the same. And I was invited by Architectural Digest show. They started a concept back in the early 2000s to support emerging designers and new ideas. And I designed a line of homewares to show at the Architectural Digest show in New York. And we submitted it. And they're like, okay, we love it. And they give me a spot. So that was the first taste that designing something for myself under my own aesthetic rather than designing for someone else. And once I did that, I kind of like caught the bug and I got really excited and what else can I do? So, you know, 7 years after that, I took my time and I launched my own collection of homewares. I launched it in New York and that was amazing because big, you know, Bergdorf Goodman and other big, you know, it got in with Amazon and it got in with All Modern and Wayfair and many other online stores. So that really made me feel like, okay, I guess I'm doing something right. That also grabbed the attention from international developers, and it opened the doors for me to do a lot of work in China for luxury property real estate, and therefore it also took me into Australia.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of times people in creative industries have this false perception of, oh, everything's already been done. And I could see how it would be easy for an interior designer to feel like, oh, how do I create my own aesthetic? There's so much already out there. But it sounds like you really drew from your unique experiences and came up with this really interesting design. Can you tell me a little bit about that creative process and your inspiration?
I think it's because, I mean, I'm sure everybody keeps hearing it because so many Mexicans are winning awards now in film and, you know, and more, I guess the world has opened up a little bit more on the creativity behind artists in Mexico. And I think it's our ability to break the rules. I mean, we live in a country where rules are meant to be broken. So when we bring that raw essence to a very structured environment, it almost gives us that opportunity. We can create business out of something that's unique. So we're always having to reinvent it. I mean, as Mexicans, we make something out of nothing because it's a, you know, it's a poor country and we bring that essence. I think that's key. I think it's good to draw inspiration from other designers. I think we all do it. I mean, thank God for Pinterest and why not? I mean, there are plenty of times that I'm like, I need to think of marbles, right? And then I do Google, like, what are the best marbles or what other people are using? But I'm very ambitious when it comes to projects. I started in interiors designing model homes for KB Home, for example, when I was in my early 20s. And now my developers are hiring me to do full creative strategies. So my team also designs branding, logos. We are involved in doing research for market research to understand the end buyer and the end user. So we design a full approach to design rather than just trend base. So the person that's creative will figure it out. You know, just like when you cook, design is the same way. You start thinking of recreating a space, but then you also start thinking, what about the furniture? And then you look at all the options that are in the market, and then you think, maybe I can design my own chair. And then you start, you know, going through the process. But
yeah. Really there is an element of design for any entrepreneur, despite what industry they're in. You know, you mentioned business cards, for example, and with social media being so essential to every business. And it is tempting to imitate other people and what's working for them. But I think a lot of times, especially in online marketing, standing out and being different is so influential. Can you talk a little bit about how you've had success with being different and kind of zigging where others were zagging?
I mean, all I can say is the feedback that I get from my clients. I know when I spent 5 years helping an emerging luxury real estate developer in China, and they hired me because I was Mexican. They actually came to the United States. They looked at different design firms, and then they said, let's hire the Mexican, because they thought I was a little bit more open-minded in kind of changing the rules. You know, even though they hire and they say, this is the contract, the fact that I'm a little bit more flexible, I guess, culture-wise, they feel more comfortable working with me. And I realize how, you know, the luxury market in China is like no other wealth that I have seen in my life. And it was just a playground. You know, I would just go in and tear down stairs, and then they would rebuild the stairs, and why not? So it is just having an open mind, and it is doing your research, having a, you know, an educated feedback, not coming from a place of ego, and always, you know, because I am in property industry, it is always, we always have to show the client that there's a return on their investment. And if there's a return and they will make money, they will give you all the tools for you to be very, very creative.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that influenced me is every time that we design for property, we have a really in-depth study of the market and to find out who the end user is. There's a collaboration between real estate agents and construction and builders and materials. And once we have a really strong group of people that we can collaborate together, really is where magic happens.
And you're an international interior designer, so you have all these different perspectives. You're from Mexico, grew up in the U.S., spent a lot of time in Australia, it sounds like China, I mean, all over. So how have you used these different perspectives, and how could it benefit an entrepreneur watching or listening to gather different perspectives to pour it into their craft and their creativity?
I want to say from experience, in the U.S., we have everything. We have everything in our fingertips. If you want a fixture or a color or a brand, we have access locally. So we don't think outside of the United States. And it's not that it's right or it's wrong, but when you really get out of the country and you spend enough time in another country, you realize what other people do. It's not the U.S. They have to import everything. You have to plan it. So you start doing research on a global scale. And then you become more creative and more unique because you're no longer just... I mean, you have to work. You have to be efficient, right? So you want to solve problems the quickest way. So in the U.S., because we have it all, we quick, you know, and then we move on. But outside of the U.S., in Australia, for example, it's a country with 20 million people, with the area the same size of the United States. Very little manufacturing happens in Australia. So every time that I specify something, I have to think it needs to come from Germany. So what I've been able to do is it's giving me the tools to think outside of the box and design on a global scale and a global experience and localize the design to suit the specific market. But you know, I decided, for example, my headquarters are now in Sydney because the talent that I'm able to hire, architects, designers, they come from all over the world. So my team in Sydney, they are Armenian, Colombian, Brazilian, Italian, Spanish. I mean, they're from all over the world. So you get these people that have masters from all these different countries. So when we design together as a team, it really looks amazing. And that's what makes me excited to utilize, be an extension to the local American developers and say, listen, we have this beautiful team. They're so international, and we want to bring it back here instead of, you know, just trying to solve the problems in our bubble.
And I know that you are wanting to bring that sense of global creativity, yet keeping things local to Southern California. Tell me a little bit about what you're working on right now.
I'm working on a 1,000 residential project homes in Otay Mesa, which is right at the border with Mexico. It's for the workforce. And this is a client that I've been working with for the past 15, 17 years. And he was amazing. And he told me, listen, Lorena, you know, I'm willing to pay your fees. I know that you're not cheap. This is not a big budget project, but I think it's going to be even more creative for you because this needs to go to the workforce. I need to sell these houses at this price point. And it's been really so amazing. I mean, people think that to be a great designer, you only can work in luxury or high-end design. And that's the only way that you can really make a difference and make a statement. And actually, I've been enjoying so much because the reality, that's where it's heading. You know, people in their 30s, they need to be able to afford housing and they can't afford $1 million home. So we are trying really creative ways to create a beautiful environment.
Beautiful. Lorena, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
So when people first hear about MediShare, they have questions, some really good questions, starting with the obvious, what is it? Well, MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's not health insurance. It's a different way of doing things, which leads us to the next question. Why do people do this? Why do they become MediShare members? Here are two of the biggest reasons. Number one, people feel good about it. They're not trapped in a plan that makes them pay for things they don't believe in. They know their money is going to help people. And the second reason, people save a lot of money. Maybe you've heard us mention the typical family saves about $500 a month switching to MediShare. And one more big question, does it work? The answer is yes, 1,000 times yes, or 400,000 times, since that's how many MediShare members there are, and they've shared over $2 billion in medical expenses. So easy to find out right now how MediShare can work for you. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE, 844-91-BIBLE.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Brittany Whitney, and my guest today is Natalie Ellis, co-founder and co-CEO of Boss Babe. Natalie, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So for those who are not familiar with you and your entrepreneurial journey, tell us kind of your background and what led up to you starting Boss Babe.
I'm like one of those really cliche people. I started my first business when I was 13, when I started learning how to design websites and branding. And I would go to eBay stores, you know, when people would sell in actual stores on eBay. I'd go to them and say, hey, you need a website, I'll build it for you. So it kind of started from there. And then I kept it going throughout school. And I was always really, really interested in having my own business. And I got offered a graduate job when I was just leaving school that would have paid off all my student debt. It would have been, you know, the perfect opportunity. And I just give myself 1 year outside of university, which is college, to try and create a business and see what would work and if I could do it. And one thing I was really passionate about was bringing superfoods to the main market. So they were really popular in LA at the time, but in England, where I'm from, like, people didn't even hear of things like maca, chia seeds. It wasn't a thing.
Right.
And so I started my first company, which was manufacturing my own superfood supplements that you would put into smoothies. And so that took me a year to get off the ground. I thought I could literally have this idea and then the business would appear. And it really wasn't like that. I was getting them manufactured. So figuring out what that looked like, I had no idea. And so I did that. And it was from there I learned the power of Instagram. So I was able to grow this account whilst I was manufacturing, so that when we launched, we were a massive success right away. And that was all down to Instagram. So I paired that with the loneliness of it. When I was doing it, none of my friends from school understood. My family had no idea what I was doing. They thought there was this crazy, risky thing. And I felt super lonely when I was doing that. And, you know, being an entrepreneur and setting your own company up is really hard. And there are times when you want to give up. And if you've got no one around you that supports you and understands what you do, you're more likely to give up. And so I paired that with knowing how to grow Instagram. And it turned into what we know as Boss Babe today.
Amazing. So did the superfood startup continue, or did you kind of push that aside and then solely focus on Boss Babe?
Yeah, it continued. I put someone else in charge of it in the UK and eventually passed that business on to them. They were killing it. And for me, once I got into Boss Babe and I was starting to grow Boss Babe, that was it for me.
So tell our audience, what is Boss Babe for those who are not familiar?
So Boss Babe is a platform for unapologetically ambitious women. So whether you're looking to start and scale your own business or level up in your career, we provide resources, inspiration for you to be able to do that.
What was the first step you took when you realized you were really serious about growing a community that could kind of support other entrepreneurs?
So the first step that I took was doing tons and tons of research. So I pulled so many articles, journals, research papers to really understand what were the things that would decide if an entrepreneur was successful or if they weren't, and specifically female entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And I pulled those things together and put them into different pillars. And that's kind of where our first product, The Society, came from. It was really pulling together those pillars and understanding, okay, well, if I can provide female entrepreneurs with X, Y, Z, they are X percent more likely to be successful. And so we created The Society based off of that. And, you know, we scaled up very, very quickly and have been able to build products on top of that. But when we introduce a new product, you know, we only do it when one product is completely running. We put someone else who in charge of it who can run it and then move on. Because I think as an entrepreneur, it can be so easy to get affected by shiny object syndrome. There's so many ideas and so many things you could be doing and feeling like you might be leaving money on the table if you're not doing those things. But actually, you know, sticking with that core focus and putting amazing people in that product, I think is a great idea.
Amazing. And if someone is kind of just starting a business like you were, and they're trying to turn to social media, sometimes the social media space can feel so oversaturated. How do you make sure that your brand really stands out?
Yeah, and I think that's a really interesting question. I think it's only oversaturated if you're replicating content. So What I see of brands that are really struggling to grow online is they are pulling content from other pages and just congregating it all together and hoping that it works. And actually, the content landscape, as you'll know, it changes very, very fast. So, you know, 1 minute while a really Pinterest perfect aesthetic feed will look good and help you grow your account, then, you know, that changes and it might be quotes, it might be viral content that helps you grow, that might change to be video. And so really staying on top of what content works, I think, is the fundamental first step. And beyond that, you have to be providing, you know, original, unique value. Because if you're not providing anything valuable, why would people follow you as opposed to anyone else? Mm-hmm. And so it really starts with that. And I'm not against pulling content that has gone viral on other pages and using that to really boost your profile and your growth. But if that's not paired with actual original content, then people don't have a reason to want to follow.
Mm-hmm. And tell us about your Instagram growth accelerator and your monthly membership.
Yeah, so the monthly membership is The Society, the one I mentioned, where we basically pull together these pillars of what would make a female entrepreneur successful. So whether they're pre-start or early stage, you know, they haven't quite hit the six-figure mark yet, that's a perfect place for them to go. It's just $34 a month. They get access to so many tools, resources, community, live coaching calls, in-person events. And so I think that's a must-have for any female entrepreneur in business who is really looking for that support. Mm-hmm. And then our Insta Growth Accelerator, this came about because I kept getting asked, how are you growing Boss Babe as quick as you can, as quick as you are? Today, we just hit 1.4 million.
Amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. We're growing at around 100,000 a month, and they are all ideal clients. We've never used a single bot on our account. And I kept getting asked this question, and I would offer a bit of kind of advice here and there, but I never sat down to kind of put it all out. And I think because Instagram is my thing, I was like, if I'm going to do this, I have to do it properly. So I've actually waited until this year. I only created in April. I sat down and I created a full 12-week roadmap from someone that might be going from, you know, zero followers, mm-hmm. or someone that's coming in with already 100,000, and showing them step by step every single thing they need to do to be able to scale and grow. And so if you're looking to grow your account or monetize your account, because I see, you know, people thinking they have to have hundreds of thousands of followers to make hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it's just not that. It's all about targeting. It's a game of targeting, not numbers. So you can make hundreds of thousands of dollars with 10,000 followers as long as they're your ideal clients.
Right.
So that's exactly what we focus on in IGA, is just really helping people to find those ideal clients and bring them to their profile and then be able to convert them and monetize from that. Because, you know, if you can't monetize your account and you're not driving to anywhere else, then it's kind of pointless.
Mm-hmm. And what's your perspective on the rising popularity of online courses?
I love it. I think, you know, this industry is going to continue to grow and grow and grow. But what I do think is you have to be an expert in what you're teaching, or at least a few steps ahead of the person you're teaching. You can't just decide, I got 100,000 Instagram followers and I'm not really sure how I did it, but it looks good, so I'm going to create a course. Or, you know, I want to create a course in fashion because I read a ton of magazines and I think it would be really cool. You know, those that has worked in the past because this niche has been so small. And so now I think more than ever, it's really important for you to do your own personal development and work mm-hmm. to become the expert in your space, to create a course around it. And I think it's going to continue to rise. And it really interests me what might happen with, you know, the typical education. I'm such a fan of education, but I'm interested what might happen with that kind of typical education, because if I could have learned what I can learn now online through online courses, I don't know if I would have went to university or not.
Right.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertising. This ad is...
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Brittany Whitney, and my guest today is Natalie Ellis, co-founder and co-CEO of Boss Babe. Tell me a little bit about your podcast and how it kind of differentiates itself from all the other business podcasts out there.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love podcasting. It's been one of the favorite things I've done. So the reason that it's different from a lot of podcasts out there is we kind of listen to a lot of entrepreneurs tell their success stories, and they don't often focus on what was difficult. Mm-hmm. Or then if they do, it's always in the past tense. Hey, yeah, this is my story, but it was hard in the past, but it's all good now.
Right.
And I know that's not true. Like, you can have the best business in the world, but you're still struggling, whether that's in your business, in your personal relationships. Like, things are a journey. It's up and down. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to create a podcast that would actually talk about those difficult things in the now as opposed to in the past. So we tried to create something that was very behind the scenes. And so whether it's Danielle and I, my co-founder, actually having conversations about what's real for us right now and mm-hmm. what might be difficult for us right now, it's also about bringing guests on and then asking them those difficult questions. Like, okay, I hear your story, but what happened for you last week that was really tough? Or what are you dealing with and working through right now? Because I think in this whole social media online space, we have a duty to share those behind the scenes and not just make it look picture perfect, because you can give people this completely false perception of what is real and what they're aspiring for is actually not attainable. Like, no one's lives are perfect,
right?
No matter what they say. And I feel personally like we really need to do that with our platform, especially having so many women in our community. Like, I feel like we owe them that to say, yeah, it might look great, but here's what's happening behind the scenes. And so far, so good. People are really resonating with it, and it seems like it was really welcomed in the space.
So now I have to ask you, what is your biggest challenge that you're facing right now?
Yes, good question. So my biggest challenge that I'm facing right now is not business related, it's health related. I'm going through so many fertility issues. And so,
oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. And so behind the scenes, that's very much where I'm focused on. Mm-hmm. And so we had a little conversation before the show, but I was saying how I don't believe balance exists, but it's very much harmony. And one week something might be pulling your attention more than something else. Right. And so for me right now, health is like my number one priority. And so I'm lucky I've created a business, you know, where we have an incredible team and we have a lot of passive income and I don't need to be in it every single day, every hour and really burning myself out. But actually right. I can pull out and focus on my health as well, which is really, really good for me right now.
It is. Yeah. And let's talk about the decision to not take funding at this time in your career.
Yeah. So it's really interesting because when I first started my business, it sounds crazy, but I just didn't know about funding. I didn't know about all these things that were available. So for me, I was like, wait, okay, if I'm going to make this work, like I didn't come from money at all. Like if I'm going to make this work, I'm already in student debt. I, you know, barely have any money in the bank, then I need to make money. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I've always done things that were very cash flow positive and thought about profit and bringing in money.
Right.
And so that's kind of how it started. And you know, since I moved to America and have really started scaling the business, of course, those funding conversations have come up and people asking if they could invest. And a lot of my friends have taken funding in their businesses. But for us, now that, you know, we started as a kind of cash flow forward company, it's just not been something that we've needed to do. We're very profitable and our products are really profitable. So until, you know, up right now, we haven't needed to take funding. And I don't know if that will change in future if we decide to go and do something completely different. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely not against it. I think there's pros and cons. But I think for me, it was just pure necessity, honestly.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I want to talk about, because you now have 1.4 million community members. What was it like growing that and scaling that community? Like, how many members did you start out with? How much did it grow per month? I know that's probably hard to pinpoint an exact number, but how fast did you guys scale?
We scaled quickly. So in the past year, I mean, our online audience has scaled, I think, around 800,000 just in the past year and a half or so.
Amazing.
It's been, in fact, the past year, it's been really, really fast. And that really started with the decision. So we were growing it through, you know, sharing our really unique content and viral and a lot of people talking about us. But it was only in that past year when we decided to really, really focus on the content side and go all in. Mm-hmm. And so we started to think about our business strategy and we would have our community growth strategy and our revenue strategy, because generally both aren't going to speak to each other. And if you spend time growing your audience and growing your community, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be making more revenue.
Right.
And so that's kind of what we created within our strategy, and then just created the time for me to be able to spend in community growth and really figuring out what works and coming up with a replicable strategy so that I could bring in people to support me doing that, and now they can continue doing that. So right now it's growing at around 100,000 people a month.
Amazing.
And for us, it's just consistency. It really is. And it's so interesting because the podcast, so my co-founder, Danielle, she is not like content heavy like me. She doesn't get social media. She's very much on the upside, which is why we work so well. But social media comes very naturally to me. So posting four times a day for the past couple of years has been the easiest thing. I'm like very consistent. I'm like, no, this is my goal. I'm going to do it. Even, you know, when I don't feel like doing it. Mm-hmm. And so we did our podcast and she was really like finding it hard to stay consistent on these weekly episodes.
Yeah.
She was like, I think we should do it in seasons and just pause. And I'm like, if we did that with our Instagram, we wouldn't be where we are. And so it's important that we push through and keep the consistency if that's the goal. And it's the number one thing across the board. Like if you are focused and consistent, you're going to see results.
Amazing. And what would you say, how big is your team right now?
We have 12 right now.
Okay. So are you kind of, your hands are in everything, I'm sure. You're doing a little bit of everything or?
Not so much. Okay. Up until like a few months ago, I would say yes, except ops. I don't really get involved in ops at all. But yes, I was doing lots of different things, but we've really tried to hire experts in those specific things. One thing we really care about is running our business lean, energy lean, and really having people on the team that own very specific things that we don't need to get involved with. So we recently hired an amazing content person who was handling a lot of the content, and I don't sign majority of things off anymore, which is great and has freed up a lot of my time. So I'm trying to pull out, but it's one of those things when you're an entrepreneur, you just want to know what's going on in all parts of your business.
Right.
And I'm lucky that I have a team that remind me, like, Natalie, like, this is a waste of your time. Like, stop looking at it. Let other people handle it. I'm like, okay.
If you could go back in time to when you first started Boss Babe, what three pieces of advice would you give yourself?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think I would have owned my value for sure. back in the day when I was starting to grow Boss Babe, I really didn't know my value so much. So I would partner with people or do these partnerships because I thought that they would help me grow. They were better at these things than I was. And I just really didn't have confidence in myself. And it was only when I might step into those partnerships and I end up leading it, or I get to see the behind the scenes of someone else's business, and actually I'm doing really well. My profit margins are really high and it runs well, but I didn't see that. So I wish I'd seen my worth and just had that confidence. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really, really important part. Mm-hmm. And I also wish I would have cultivated a community around me of people that were doing really similar things. That would have been so, so helpful for me. And it would have, made me feel so much more supported. And actually, you are kind of the average of the people you spend time with. And if I'd really brought in all those people, because back in the day, I was just sitting in my bedroom, my laptop, and I wasn't socializing and I wasn't networking. So I was like, I want to work. But actually doing that has been so incredible. And I think I probably would have invested more in an online course or something, mm-hmm. to be able to save time.
Yeah.
Because I really didn't do that. I invested in one course and it was the most incredibly helpful thing ever. It was showing me like all the tech of WordPress and all the things I didn't know.
Yeah.
And it was a real time saver. But back then I was like, wait, I can't spend that much money on that. I'm just going to figure it out myself.
Right.
And I think that's a great strategy. But if there's a really specific thing that you want to learn, definitely think about whether it pays off to pay to learn quicker or whether you do want to figure it out, because there are pros and cons to both. But, for example, doing webinars, I was like, I'm not paying someone to teach me how to do a webinar. I'm just going to figure it out. And I spent so long figuring it out. And
right.
I feel like if I just invested a couple of $100 in someone that could just teach me how to do it, it would have been amazing.
Right.
So I would do that again for sure.
What would be the one thing that you would want someone to do who just listened to this interview to do?
I think probably not what I said, because I was really focused on what I was doing. But one thing I see a lot of people needing to do is have a core focus. Mm-hmm. So I would get so incredibly focused on where I'm going. And, if it's one product that I'm scaling up or one business, like I see a lot of people, when it comes to Instagram, growing 3 accounts at once or trying to launch 3 products at once and focus on all of these different things. And it's really, really, it's hard to scale one account as opposed to 3.
Right.
And so I would get so, so clear on my core focus, and I would not do anything that isn't helping me drive that. Mm-hmm. When I did that, like, it was amazing for me. So when we were launching the society, we had lots of different products before that. And when we were getting in that research stage of, no, I want to create a membership, we got rid of everything. Mm-hmm. And we didn't make any money for 6 months, which probably seems crazy, but that would have been such a distraction. And so we cut off all of that and we focused on that one product, and being able to focus just completely supercharged the success there. And so if you're listening and you notice yourself doing lots of different things, you might not be doing all of these things really, really well. Cut off the fat, get rid of it, because you're going to make 80%, like you probably spend 80% of your time doing what maybe brings you 20% in revenue.
Right.
Try and flip that on its head and just have that core focus.
That's such good advice. Where do you see Boss Babe in the next 5 or 10 years?
I see Boss Babe as the number one online platform for ambitious women.
I love it. And if you could just give any aspiring entrepreneur one piece of advice, if they're kind of, afraid of failure, what would you tell them? To just go for it? Just do it?
Yeah, I would say just go for it, because, you can sit and think for as long as you want, but if you don't get out there and you don't get testing, you're not getting feedback, you're not getting any momentum. And so I always try and break a really big sky project down into 10 steps. Mm-hmm. No matter what it is, I really believe you can break it into 10 steps. And I'm like, okay, these are my 10 steps I'm going to achieve over the next 12 months. Every single month, I'm like, okay, here's what I'm working on. Is this getting me towards that step? Yes. And it's very methodical. And you get those quick, easy wins. You get to tick things off. And sometimes as pre-start entrepreneurs or early stage, you're not seeing those results. You're feeling like you don't have momentum. You're losing motivation. And all of your kind of limiting beliefs pop in your head and you talk yourself out of doing it, which is so easy to do. And I mean, I still do it too. I talk myself out of doing everything. So I'm not saying you ever get past it, but I would do that and tick things off as you go along. And I remember when I was first starting out, having this big chart on my wall with all these 10 steps, and I would tick them off, and I could see, okay, 2 months in, I'm making so much progress.
Right.
And that's helpful, I think, for your mindset. So I would recommend doing that.
I love it. And where can people learn more about you and Boss Babe?
So people can find me on Instagram at IamNatalie and BossBabe at BossBabe.inc.
Natalie, it was such a pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This is Business Rockstars. That was my amazing guest, Natalie Ellis. co-founder and co-CEO of Boss Babe.
Choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertising. This ad is sponsored by Case Legal Media. Attention, this is an important message for anyone that has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers. The Internal Agency for Research on Cancer warned that overexposure to Roundup and other weed killers may increase the risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Monsanto, the manufacturer of Roundup, may have known that Roundup and other weed killers were likely linked to organ damage and cancer. This information was hidden from the public as proprietary trade secret since 1980. And Monsanto may have failed to warn of the potential risk of cancer. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers, you may be entitled to significant compensation.
Call us now at 800-972-1329. Our network of attorneys are ready to fight for you. You'll pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call now for a free consultation at 800-972-1329. You must protect your legal rights. 800-972-1329. Again, 800-972-1329.
If you travel for business or pleasure, Hotels.com and the Hotels.com app is all you need to get great deals on all kinds of properties all over the world, and with an amazing rewards program that gives you free nights to stay at a property of your choice. Now, speaking of Hotels.com, we have an amazing Tech It Out contest for you. If you feel like you're in need of a getaway but are a little tight on cash, listen up. Each week, Hotels.com and Tech It Out are giving away a $250 Hotels.com gift card to put toward your travels. All you have to do is as follows. Go to Twitter and follow at hotels.com. Tweet out why you deserve a trip, just a sentence is fine, and include the hashtag TechItOut. That's it. Once again, to be eligible for the $250 Hotels.com gift card, one given away every week in August and September, follow Hotels.com on Twitter, tweet why you need a break, and include the hashtag TechItOut. One randomly drawn entry will be chosen each week. Good luck.
Hey, have you ever thought to yourself, I would like to become an entrepreneur?
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's check in with Pat O'Brien.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Welcome to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. This is CEO Roundtable. We've got two CEOs here. Lisa Federman, my old friend from Namaku. I love saying that, Namaku.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And what do you say when I say Namaku?
Pat O'Brien.
There you go. See, we got our deal. And my old friend Shannon Ridley. How are you, man?
Yes, sir. I'm
good
great.
To see
how are you?
From the CEO of Wizpack and the Ridley Company, and we've got 100 friends in common. Let's talk about the culture that you create in your company. What are the people like, and what's the culture you try to create?
Everybody that I hire at my company, I make sure that I can stand them breakfast, lunch, and dinner, that I want to hang out with them after work.
And pick up the bill?
Yes, well, we all split the bill.
Okay, all right.
I want us to feel like a family and open.
Okay, how about you, Shannon?
Oh, everybody at my team on my team is very energetic, lively, creative. It's like high school, ninth grade with your favorite teacher in every class.
I love it. My favorite line is high school with money.
That's what it is, man. It's high school all day.
I like that. When you're hiring new people, Shannon, what sort of traits do you look for?
Oh man, I'm a very meticulous guy, so they have to be neat. They have to be able to articulate themselves, and they have to be able to help me grow the brand in what area I need to grow them in. Yeah. So I really watch them for a while. I vet them and see if they could help me, and then I hire them.
I'm pretty sure it's the same with you, Lisa, but how do you know? I mean, is there some instinctual thing you have?
Yeah, there's one thing that I see is that I'm interested and interest interesting people, which means that they're interested in something else. You have to have some kind of thing that you're very, very passionate about, whether it's a hobby or your religion or something. You have to be all in on that one thing, and then I identify with you. I'm right. Like, oh yeah, I'm like that.
And passion is the key word, right, Shannon?
Yes.
How do you stay passionate? I know you're a passionate guy.
Yes.
But how do you keep everybody as passionate as you? Is that possible?
Oh, it's possible.
Or to come in with, you know, let's get this done, I love this, and all that kind of.
Yes, I think your energy transfers to them. If they are excited about your brand and product and they see you're excited about it, it's just infectious. It's infectious every time. I mean, for me, they look and watch me, and I dictate the pace and the energy of the company.
What's the most important to you, vision, core values, or mission? Or all three? At the Ridley Company.
Oh man, I would say vision, and then I'd go to the core value.
All right, yeah. Vision. Why?
Because without
the
vision,
be ahead of everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, without the vision, man, it's nowhere to go. I mean, you have to have a vision. You have to know where you're going, and then all the other things can kind of organically just support it.
Do you agree, Lisa?
I see where he's coming from. For me, it's always.
In other words, don't agree, but go ahead.
Yes, for me, it's mission.
Right.
We're very mission driven, and then we'll do whatever it takes. Our mission, our vision can change. It's all about reaching that planet Mars.
How do you keep people motivated all the time?
Yeah, I think it goes back to the passion. You have to have people who are passionate about your product and what you're presenting to the people.
Same
and
you.
I think that passion is what keeps them.
Yeah. Do you agree?
I agree. And you got to be strong for everybody else. You know, when things are not going your way, you got to figure it out and then show people the future of what it could be. And then we can leave anything in the past.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be basically the same thing. You're setting an example, right,
yes.
For your employees.
Yes.
You have to do that. How do you stay focused as a CEO, especially in your business, because you're hanging out with?
Well, it's tough, man, because I'm also a single dad of twin 17-year-olds now. And, you know, being Mr. Mom and staying focused in the company is really tough. But I've managed to do it because you got to feed them.
Yeah.
So that keeps my focus.
You know how much money it costs to raise teenagers? All of it.
All of it. All of it.
Just so you know. And that's a good point, though. Balance. How do you keep balance in your company?
I don't.
In your life, rather. You don't.
Yeah, I just give in to the chaos. And I roll with the punches, because if I just impose any kind of strict guidelines, I'm always going to break it, because your life changes every day as an entrepreneur. I just embrace the chaos.
It's by minute by minute. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstar CEO Roundtable. Shannon Ridley is here, and Lisa Fetterman is here from Namaku and the Ridley Company. You guys, you know, you're young. Do you envision yourselves as a CEO? Do you believe that you're actually a CEO?
I'll let you go first.
Okay. I always saw myself as a leader. Mm-hmm. And whatever title you want to give me, I'll take it.
That's right. You're one of those.
Yeah.
It still hasn't sunk in for me.
Right.
You know, I'm still a kid in my mind who was sitting behind a mixing board being a recording engineer. So how I got here and being a CEO is still, every day it's a pinch for me.
What would you share, Shannon, with people who want to get into business? I mean, funding is obviously the main thing, but what would you share with them?
I'd go back to vision. I mean, start with the vision. Know what it is that you want to do, and if you have the time, research it and be able to compete or beat anybody out there in that field.
Did that come through your background, through the people you've hung out with?
Yeah, I learned with Diddy over 14, 15 years of being with him. He's one of the greatest marketers in the world, and people who don't really understand one of the greatest creators in the world when it came to music and brands. And I was lucky to be able to learn firsthand from him.
There's only one number for Diddy, number one.
That's it.
There's no number two.
That's it.
How about you? What would you suggest?
It may seem counterintuitive to a lot of entrepreneurs, but I would say tell everybody your idea. If you're just starting out, tell everyone. Form your community now. Ask them for feedback. Like, hey, I want to make a cooking machine that does XYZ. You'll be shocked at how many people have the same idea as you and want to help you. And then you grow your community, and those are your first customers.
And can refine your product even, right?
Exactly.
I mean, I like that. What's the kind of a dialogue you have with your customers?
Well, right now I'm so new, I haven't even had a chance to establish dialogue, but my first customer was the Beverly Hills Hotel. That was my first purchase order.
Start at the top.
So You know, to answer your question, I think if you got a great product, it speaks for itself.
What's the, let's say, the one mistake that you see people making, other leaders, that you don't want to make? What's the one mistake they make more than others?
A mistake that I see leaders make is that they get over emotional and fly off the handle, and I never want to do that. I want to be so even keeled, and I strive for that.
And you?
I think knowing too much, knowing everything about everything.
Well, you can't, right?
It's impossible, and I've seen it so many times, and that's something I've learned not to do.
And the worst part is pretending to know everything.
Absolutely.
I've run into a few of those.
Absolutely.
Lisa, thank you.
Thank
Shannon,
you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pat.
We'll see you later.
Yes, sir.
I'm Pat O'Brien. You've been watching Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars CEO Roundtable. See you next time.